New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Attention all comic book fans. Are you looking for a podcast that delivers the latest news, previews, reviews, and interviews on all things comic books? Look no further than Comics for Fun and Profit, hosted by two brothers, Kyle and Drew, with creator interviews by our host, Jason from Hawaii.
With 800 episodes under our belts and a decade of experience, Kyle and Drew, that's us, are true experts in the world of comic book. Well, experts, maybe. their passion for the medium shines through in every episode as we share our love for all things comic related.
That's right. Whether you're a seasoned collector or just starting out, Comics for Fun and Profit has something for everyone. From classic story arcs to the latest releases, Kyle and Drew keep listeners up to date with everything happening in the world of comics.
So why wait? Join the thousands of satisfied listeners who have made Comics for Fun and Profit their go-to podcast for all things comic books. With informative and entertaining content, you're sure to have a blast while expanding your knowledge of this beloved medium.
That's right. Tune in to Comics for Fun and Profit, however you listen to your podcast, and discover why C4FAP is the ultimate podcast for comic book fans everywhere.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome or welcome back to another episode of Mystery Frequency. This time around, we have the further adventures of hard-boiled detective Inspector Thorne. If you enjoyed this episode, check out Volumes 1 in the archives, as well as many other detectives, mysteries, and thrillers. Feel free to reach out the normal ways, through the comments on Spotify, or through my email or social media. All those links are in the description. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, if you could take the time to follow, review, and rate. The higher the rating, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. Now with all that, please enjoy the show.
And now, the National Broadcasting Company presents Inspector Thorne in the Golden Girl Murder Case. Tonight, the National Broadcasting Company presents the exploits of the spectacular young Inspector Thorne of the Homicide Bureau. Those investigations rank with many of the most celebrated ones in the annals of crime fiction. An investigator smart enough to claim he is dumb, and modest enough to believe it. Tonight, Inspector Thorne turns to The Golden Girl Murder Case. The story opens in the private drawing room of a train speeding into New York City as we see Roberta Ralston, the golden girl of stage and screen, in the arms of her husband of a day, young and handsome Larry Holt. And the fabulous Roberta, whose career has brought her fame and fortune, is saying...
Oh, how lucky I obeyed that whim to visit my old hometown, Larry. Otherwise, I wouldn't have met you, fallen in love, and elope with you all in a few short weeks.
Oh, Roberta, the miracle is what a dazzling girl like you could see in a plain Joe like me.
I'll be trying to tell you all through our honeymoon, Larry. Are you glad we're going to my lovely brownstone house in New York?
I don't care where we go, Roberta. Where this train takes us, as long as I'm with you.
Darling, we'll have such a wonderful honeymoon.
The door.
Who's that? Remember me, Larry? The girl you left behind you?
Oh, Janet. Janet Mills. What are you doing here on this train?
Who's got a better right to wish you and your bride good luck but the girl you were engaged to for 3 years? The girl you jilted practically at the altar.
Oh, now, Janet.
I suppose you'd like me to take it lying down, wouldn't you?
Janet.
I suppose after 3 years of loving you and waiting for you, I'm supposed to cross it all off just like that.
No, of course not. You ought to know how tough it was for me to tell you, to write you that I couldn't marry you.
Yes. After 3 years, I get a letter. Goodbye, good luck. I'm marrying the golden girl of stage and screen, Roberta Ralston.
I feel rotten about it, Janet. And so does Roberta.
Oh, Roberta feels rotten, too. Yes, Janet. But things happen that way, and sometimes people get hurt. But you never get hurt, do you, Roberta? I'm sorry. I know how you must feel. You know how I feel. You, Roberta Ralston? You have everything. Looks and fame and money. And I had only one thing in my life, Larry. And you stole him away from me.
Please,
you saw Larry and you wanted him and you took him.
Well, that's too bad. Sure, I took Larry away from you. I won. So run along.
Listen, Roberta Ralston. I'm not going to let you get away with it. I found out you and Larry were going away on this train and I followed you.
Can't you get it into your head, Janet? Larry and I couldn't help it. We fell in love. We got married.
You don't know what love is. You never will.
I hate you. I don't have to listen to this. Larry, call the conductor.
Don't bother. I'm going. But don't think you're going to live happily ever after. You haven't seen the last of me.
And now, a few hours later, following the violent scene on the train, Roberta, the golden girl of stage and screen, and her bridegroom are in New York at her house. And we hear her say...
Here we are, Larry. My dear, lovely brownstone house in the big city.
Yes, Roberta.
Oh, darling, don't be glum. We've got to forget Janet. Forget all our troubles.
You're right, Roberta. So long, trouble, Fair.
That's better. Oh, here's the key.
I'll carry you across the threshold.
Oh, my husband.
Oh, kiss me, my wife.
Now, put me down.
Oh, there.
Stop looking at me and look at the house. Oh, isn't it utterly lovely, so big, so beautiful? Come this way, Larry. I'll show you the drawing room.
All right, darling.
Now you go through these hangings into the library.
Say, it's awfully big. You could put my whole house where I live back home in this one room. But I guess when an actress makes a lot of money like you, she can afford it and deserves the setting.
Perhaps it's much too big, but I love it.
Oh, I want you to have everything you love, Roberta.
Follow me, Larry, and I'll show you the rest of the house.
Roberta! What's happened?
I'm dying.
Roberta! She's dead! Who's there? Stop! Murderer! Here, I'll get you!
Let me go!
Janet! So you got your revenge.
Let me go, Larry. I beg you.
You shot Roberta, Janet. I'm calling the police. I've got to call the police.
And now we see one of the most famous crime fighters of the day taking control. A man who looks like anything but what he is. The spectacular young Inspector Thorne of Homicide. With his assistant, Sergeant Muggin, by his side,
the young black-haired Inspector Thorne is confronting a haggard Larry Holt and saying,
Mr. Holt, your marriage yesterday to Roberta Ralston was announced in the papers, so I know about that. I suppose you came here on your honeymoon?
Yes, Inspector Thorne.
Please tell me what happened, Mr. Holt.
We'd just arrived here. Roberta started to show me the house. I was following her as she went into the library. She passed through those red hangings. There were two shots. She fell. I ran forward. There were two more shots aimed at me, I thought, and then...
Yes, go on.
This is hard for me.
I know. Take your time.
Time won't help. You see, I believe I know who murdered Roberta, and I'm to blame.
You?
How come?
Just a moment, Sergeant Muggan. I don't want my partner to rush you, Mr. Holt.
I'm sorry, Chief.
Now, you were saying you think you know who killed your famous actress wife. Who was it, Mr. Holt? Another man or another woman?
It was a woman, Inspector Thorne.
What's her name?
Janet Mills. We were engaged for a long time back in the small town where we lived, Carrollton.
And then you eloped with Roberta Ralston, the golden girl of stage and screen.
We couldn't help it, Inspector Thorne. We fell in love.
But Janet Mills didn't see it that way.
Jealousy's always a strong motive for murder, Chief.
Yes, Sergeant Muggan.
It was awful. Janet followed us on the train as we came to New York. Threatened Roberta. I wish I'd never gotten Roberta into this.
Steady, steady.
Well, why didn't Janet shoot me instead of Roberta?
Maybe Janet didn't shoot anybody, Mr. Holt. A threat is not necessarily murder.
But after the shots, I heard Janet running away, and I caught her.
Where is she now?
I locked her in the next room, Inspector.
Come on, Sergeant Muggan.
Be easy on Janet, Inspector. She didn't know what she was doing.
I don't know what she did yet, Mr. Holt.
What do you mean? You think Janet is innocent?
I'm not bright enough to think anything yet. I just got here. Go get yourself a drink, Holt. You look as if you need it.
Thank you, Inspector Thorne.
I wanted to get rid of him, Muggan. Now, open the door.
Got you, Chief.
Janet Mills, I'm Inspector Thorne. This is Sergeant Muggan.
You can't arrest me. I didn't kill Roberta Ralston. I swear it. You've got to listen to me.
I'm listening.
I heard two shots and then two more, and I got scared and started to run away.
Where were you?
Behind the piano in the drawing room.
Hiding?
Yes, hiding.
I see.
No, you don't see, Inspector Thorne. It's true, I was hiding, but I didn't kill Roberta.
Who did then?
I don't know.
Didn't you see anyone, Janet?
No.
No? You were in the drawing room, behind the piano, and you didn't see a soul.
That's right, Inspector Thorne.
You must need glasses. What were you doing in this house?
I was out of my mind to come here.
Answer my question, Janet. You threatened Roberta on the train. You sneaked into this house and concealed yourself behind the piano. What was the idea?
I planned to plague Larry and Roberta. I thought I could get revenge by popping up wherever they went and spoiling their honeymoon, Inspector Thorne.
That's a hot one, Chief.
I know now. I was crazy, Sergeant Muggs.
Janet, how did you get into the house?
I found the back door ajar and came in that way, Inspector Thorne.
The back door, eh? Then you went into the drawing room and waited.
Yes, Inspector. It was only a few minutes before Larry and Roberta arrived. I watched them a bit, and I was just going to come out and show myself when I heard the shots and tried to run away.
And all this time you saw nobody, Janet.
That's right.
Although the murderer must have been in the house.
I don't know where the murderer was, Inspector Thorne.
I do. The murderer was hiding behind the piano.
No, Sergeant Muggett. Wait. I did catch a glimpse of someone.
Really, Janet?
Yes, a man, as I came through the door.
And was he short and fat with glasses?
I couldn't say.
I'll bet you couldn't.
You're a rotten liar, sister. Do we pull her in, Chief?
Janet will keep, Muggan. I want to see the body first.
Okay.
Don't leave this house, Janet, if you know what's good for you. Come on, Muggan.
I'm right on your tail, Chief.
Body's in the library, Muggan, through these red draperies.
Yeah.
Ah, there she is. What an end for the golden girl of stage and screen. Two bullets and fade out.
Two bullets, Chief?
Yes, he was shot twice, Muggan. Look here. The other two shots went in another direction, hit this wall.
Those two bullets must have been meant for Larry Holt and went wild.
It looks that way. Check ballistics, Muggan, but I'll bet the murderer fired from behind those red hangings separating this room from the drawing room.
Yeah, and that just about nails down the jilted fiancée, Janet Mills.
Muggan, look at this pile of mail on the desk addressed to Roberta Ralston.
Waiting for her to get back home, I guess.
Some welcome. Bills, bills, bills.
Why not? She was the golden girl. The papers were always talking about how much she made.
Evidently, she spent it as fast as she made it. Here's a bill for interior decorating, $10,000. Another $15,000 for a fur coat. A doctor, $550. Wristwatch, $1,200. Yeah.
Just don't tell my old lady.
What gets me is some of these bills are months overdue.
Well, little old golden girl was out of town.
I wonder. Hold on. Someone's coming in the front door.
Should I...
No, wait here, Muffin. I'll see who it is.
Okay.
How do you do, ma'am?
Well, who are you?
I'm Inspector Thorne. What's that bag on your arm?
Well, it's a shopping bag full of groceries. What business is it of yours?
I'm a police officer. What's your name and what are you doing here?
I'm not saying another word until I know what this is all about.
All right. I'll show you. Come with me.
Where?
Into the library.
If this is some...
Sergeant Muggins, step aside and let this lady see the body.
Okay, Inspector.
Body? Oh, it's Roberta. Dead. Murdered. Oh, my poor baby. My poor baby. Oh, how terrible.
Come along outside now.
Oh, yes. Oh, the sight of her lying there. She was so young and beautiful. I'll never get over this. Never, never.
I wonder.
What?
Somehow I think you're making more fuss than you feel.
What do you mean by that, Inspector Thorne?
Just what I said. Now, who are you?
I'm Polly Price. I was housekeeper and companion to Roberta.
Housekeeper, companion? I'd say you were an actress.
Well, you've got a good eye, Inspector Thorne. I was on the stage for many years before taking this job.
Where have you been, Miss Price?
Out marketing. I got a telegram from my poor Roberta. The darling said she was coming home with her new husband, so I went out to stock up on food.
I'm pretty dumb, Miss Price, but the way I figure it, you must have been gone at least 2 hours. Does it take that long to buy that small quantity of groceries you're carrying?
Well, I... you've caught me, Inspector Thorne. I stopped off for a cup of tea.
Where did you have this tea?
Well, I might as well admit it. It wasn't tea. It was a beer.
Where did you get the beer, Miss Price?
Look here, you're barking up the wrong tree. It's perfectly obvious who killed Roberta.
Yes? Who?
Ogden Barnett killed her.
Ogden Barnett?
And who is he?
Ogden's the producer, who helped Roberta get her start on the stage, and that led to her getting in the movies. Then Ogden began to drink, hit the skids. Roberta let him live on the top floor of this house when she was gone. And sometimes when she was here.
You say the producer, Ogden Barnett, lived here in this house?
Yes, he did. And I'd like to know why.
What do you mean by that?
You guess.
I don't go for hints and innuendos, Miss Price. If you've got something to say, say it.
Inspector Thorne, doesn't it seem peculiar that Roberta let Ogden live here like that?
I thought you said Ogden gave Roberta her start.
Yes, but he didn't do that much for her. All he did was give her a little part in a play.
I see.
There could have been something else between the two of them, Inspector Thorne.
What? Do you suggest?
I wouldn't dream of suggesting anything.
It sounds to me as if you're suggesting plenty.
I'm only trying to help, Sergeant Muggins.
Then answer this one, Miss Price. If Ogden Barnett lived in this house, where is he now?
In some gutter, probably. Now, look, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, here's the telegram I got from Roberta this morning. It'll prove what I say.
It says, coming home with my husband, get out the welcome mat. Please tell Ogden Barnett and ask him to leave before my husband and I get there. And it's signed, Roberta.
When I told Ogden that Roberta was married and he'd have to clear out, he carried on like a regular madman. Said he'd kill Roberta rather than never see her again. Started to hit the bottle.
Did you see him leave the house, Miss Price?
No. I saw him go to his room and I figured he'd pack and be out by the time I got back, Inspector Thornton. He must have drunk himself wild and killed Roberta.
Which room is Ogden Barnett's?
Up the stairs and the first right.
Come on, Sergeant Muggin.
Right with you, Chief.
She said the first door to the right, Muggin.
Here it is, Chief. Hey, that must be Ogden Barnett stretched out on the bed.
Yes.
He's dead, Chief.
No, Muggin. Dead drunk. And drunk or sober, Mr. Ogden Barnett was in this house all the time the murder took place.
Inspector Thorne in the Golden Girl murder case will return in just a moment. But first, tomorrow, the new comedy team of Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding come to the NBC microphone in a full hour of light satire and nonsense sketches. Bob and Ray, tomorrow night and every weekday afternoon, Monday through Friday. Then on Sunday, there's High Adventure with the Saint. Then the Whisperer brings you suspense as he enters the underworld to solve cases which have baffled the law. Later, screen actor Lloyd Nolan comes to the NBC microphone as Martin Kane, Private Eye, a fellow who has the uncanny ability of being able to get himself into plenty of fast-moving, hard-hitting trouble. Then there's Mr. Moto, ace Japanese-American security agent, intent on preserving world peace while fighting those who seek to plunge the world into another war. Make a listening reminder to hear The Saint, The Whisperer, Martin Kane, Private Eye, and Mr. Moto this Sunday. Then Thursday evening, hear stories dealing in time and space and brought to you in future tense on Dimension X. Yes, for the best in summer radio entertainment, keep tuned to this, your NBC station. Now, back to Inspector Thorne and the Golden Girl murder case. When dazzling Roberta Ralston, the golden girl of stage and screen, is murdered a day after eloping with handsome Larry Holt, Inspector Thorne uncovers a situation seething with emotion. Janet Mills, Larry's jilted fiancée, is caught running from the murder house after the shots. Then the inspector meets Polly Price, an ex-actress working as a housekeeper companion to Roberta, and Polly accuses Ogden Barnett, a down-and-out producer who has been living in the murdered woman's house, of killing Roberta when he was told to clear out. Then Inspector Thorne finds Ogden Barnett dead drunk in his upstairs bedroom. And now, Ogden Barnett has been restored to consciousness, and we hear the inspector saying to him,
"All right, Ogden Barnett, what's your story?"
"I haven't any story, Inspector Thorne."
"I'll prompt you. Roberta Ralston, the famous actress, permitted you to live here, didn't she?"
"Yes, that's true."
"Why?"
"That's an embarrassing question, Inspector."
"I'm afraid you'll have to answer it."
"I've had a string of unlucky breaks, Inspector Thorne, and I drink too much. Roberta was the most generous girl in the world."
"It would seem so. To take a man who has no claims on her and support him."
"I don't know what you're implying, Inspector Thorne. I gave Roberta her start in show business, and she was grateful."
"I understood you merely gave her a small part in a play."
"That was the part that made her, and she knew it."
"All right, we'll skip that. Go on."
"I taught her everything. I did. And if she were alive, she'd tell you."
"Yes, but she isn't alive. So it's only your word."
"It's the truth."
"If it is, then it seems you felt you had a claim on Roberta. And how did you feel when you were given your hat and told to go?"
"Well, I was..."
"A short time before Roberta was murdered, Polly, the housekeeper, told you she was married and bringing her new husband here, that you'd have to clear out. Isn't that so?"
"Yes."
"What did you do then?"
"Well, I took a few drinks."
"Quite a few, I'd say."
"Yes, Inspector. I was celebrating. And if you know everything, you know I was celebrating the last coffin nail in the heart of Ogden Barnett."
"I see."
"I loved Roberta. And now that she's dead, I don't care what happens to me."
"The point is, did you kill her rather than lose her?"
"Kill her? I tell you, I loved her."
"You say you took to the bottle in despair. But you could have taken a few drinks and killed Roberta."
"Don't be stupid. I was blind drunk, out cold. I didn't even know what was going on."
"So you say."
"You saw me yourself, Inspector Thorne. How could I have killed Roberta if I was unconscious?"
"No doubt your intelligence is higher than mine, Barnett. But it doesn't take many brains to figure out that you may have gotten blind drunk after the murder, not before."
"I didn't."
"Maybe you hoped to cover yourself that way. You threatened to kill Roberta."
"Who says so?"
"The housekeeper, Polly."
"Polly? Polly might have shot Roberta herself. The hypocritical old bag was cheating Roberta right and left."
"Cheating her?"
"Polly took care of the household, and Roberta never checked up on her. Over the years, Polly must have stolen a pretty penny."
"Keep on talking.
Maybe Polly was afraid the new husband wouldn't be as trusting and open-handed as Roberta. Maybe she was afraid of being found out.
Could be. Now, what is it, Sergeant Muggan?
We found the murder gun, Chief.
Where?
That's just it. We found it in Polly Price's shopping bag.
What? That doesn't make sense, Muggan. Polly was out. If Polly murdered Roberta, she wouldn't have brought the gun home in her shopping bag. What's the joke, Barnett?
That might be just what Polly wants you to think.
What?
Don't sell Polly short, Inspector Thorne. Do you know what her act was before she retired from vaudeville? She was one of the cleverest mind readers in the business.
Is that so? Come on, Sergeant Muggan. We're talking to Polly Price right now. And we'll see who mind reads who. Sergeant Muggan and I want to talk to you, Polly.
Well, what is it, Inspector Thorne?
This murder gun was found in your shopping bag.
In my shopping bag? Oh, that's silly.
Silly?
If I murdered Roberta, I wouldn't be fool enough to bring the gun home in my shopping bag.
That's exactly what I said.
You've got your wits, Inspector Thorne.
Don't try to twist them, Polly.
What?
You may have been a clever mind reader, and I may be a dumb cop. But if there's one thing I know about, it's murder.
Someone planted that gun in my shopping bag.
Maybe you did yourself, trying to outsmart the police.
Is that so, Sergeant Muggan? And I say it was that jilted girl, Janet Mills. She must have put the gun in my bag.
Why, Janet?
My shopping bag was on the kitchen table, Inspector Thorne, and I saw Janet in the kitchen.
Step into the drawing room and wait there with Ogden Barnett, Polly.
Very well.
Come on, Sergeant Muggan. We'll see Janet. She's in the library with Larry Holt.
But meanwhile, in the library, we see Janet turning to Larry Holt and saying...
I want you to know this, Larry. I love you. If you love somebody, you do anything for them. Anything, Larry.
Please, Janet.
I understand you don't want to talk to me. Not now, anyway. But I want you to do something for me, to make it easier.
What?
I can't face them anymore, Larry. Not Inspector Thorne. I want you to turn your back, and when you look around, I won't be here.
No.
You owe it to me, Larry.
What?
Oh, Inspector Thorne.
Has something happened here?
No. No, of course not.
Larry?
No, Inspector.
All right. Janet, answer carefully. Have you been in this room with Larry Holt all the time?
In this room? Yes, I have, Inspector Thorne.
You never left this room?
Well, maybe I did for a minute.
Did you or didn't you?
Yes. I went into the kitchen for a glass of water.
Into the kitchen?
Yes.
Was Polly Price's shopping bag on the table?
Shopping bag? I don't remember.
I think you do, Janet.
Well, maybe I did see some sort of bag on the table. Yes, I believe I did, Inspector.
Did you put anything into that bag?
Put anything into it?
The murder gun, for instance?
The murder gun? No, I didn't even have a gun. Larry, you were here. Tell Inspector Thorne. Tell him.
Tell him what, Janet?
You don't think going to the kitchen, Larry? You can tell the inspector I wasn't carrying a gun, that I couldn't possibly have been hiding a gun or anything else.
Please, Janet.
Tell him, Larry.
I can't say what I don't know, Janet. I'm afraid I didn't notice one way or another. I'm sorry.
Come with me, both of you.
Where to, Inspector Thorne?
Through this door and into the drawing room, Larry. Polly Price and Ogden Barnett are in there. I want all four of you together.
But Inspector...
Bring them along, Sergeant Muggan.
You heard what Inspector Thorne said, Janet. Get in there. You too, Larry.
All right, Sergeant Muggan.
Now what's going on?
You'll see, Polly. Now, all of you. Ogden, Polly, Janet, and Larry. When I first came here, I found this pack of bills on the desk, addressed to Roberta Ralston.
Well, what about it?
Just this, Polly. Roberta was the golden girl of stage and screen. She earned a lot of money, but also spent a great deal.
Everybody knows that, Inspector Thorne.
True, Barnett. But as a simple policeman, I'm interested in the money aspect of this case. In other words, who gets Roberta's money?
I can tell you that, Inspector. Certain stage charities get some, and the residue goes to Polly Price.
Is that right? Is it, Larry?
I don't think so, Inspector Thorne. You see, Roberta and I were flying to Europe after a few honeymoon weeks in New York, and we decided not to take any chances. We made wills in each other's favor.
You're lying, Larry. I get the money.
I'm sorry, Polly.
I'll sue you. I'll contest the will.
It wouldn't be worth your while, Polly.
I'm not going to lose all that money, Inspector Thorne.
I've checked Roberta's finances, Polly. An easy job because in this mail, there was an urgent letter from the Internal Revenue Department about Roberta's taxes.
So what?
Roberta owes the government thousands of dollars in back income tax. So much money that it will consume all and more of her estate.
No!
Roberta Ralston, the golden girl, was broke.
I don't believe it.
Roberta threw money away like waste paper, Larry. She was prodigal, and she was generous.
I told you so.
Yes, Ogden Barnett, and now I believe you.
You're making it up. It's some ghastly joke, Inspector Thorne.
You can see for yourself, Larry.
Roberta was rich. I know she was rich.
Roberta didn't have a dime.
But she lived like a queen. I thought she had millions. How could I make such a mistake?
Mistake?
I...
You married Roberta for her money, Larry. And she was taken in by you because she was essentially gullible and never thought about money herself.
But it's true. I loved Janet all the time.
A fortune hunter.
Call me any name you like. I'm to blame for everything. Roberta's death and driving Janet to murder.
Just a minute. None of that. You're the murderer, Larry.
No.
You killed Roberta yourself and took advantage of Janet's wild actions to plant the murder on her.
You're wrong.
I suspected you from the first, because the two shots meant for Roberta went right to the bullseye, while the two evidently meant for you went so wide a two-year-old child could have shot them.
It's a lie. I didn't shoot Roberta. Janet, you were there. Tell them the truth. Tell them I didn't kill Roberta.
How big a fool do you think I am? You don't love me, Larry. You tried to put the murder on me, and now you think I'll lie for you.
Janet!
Inspector Thorne! Larry killed Roberta. I saw him shoot her. I saw him with my own eyes.
Janet's lying.
For the first time, Janet's telling the truth, Larry.
Yes, Inspector.
I knew Janet must have seen the murderer shoot Roberta because of the layout of this room. She was facing those red hangings. She'd have had to see the killer. I knew she was protecting someone. And it had to be you, Larry.
No, I...
But I had to break her down. I had to set up this little scene to reveal you for what you are, so Janet would tell the truth and quit shielding you. With her testimony, you'll go to the chair, Larry Holt. Take him, Sergeant Muggan.
With pleasure, Chief.
I was a fool, Inspector Thorne.
Not as big a one as Larry Holt was, Janet. Larry thought he was being smart to catch you and hold you for the police. He thought it would make it easier to frame you. The rat was caught in his own trap.
And so ends the Golden Girl murder case. The part of Inspector Thorne is played by Carl Weber, direction by Kenneth McGregor. The script was written by Carol Warner Gluck, based on the original radio play by Frank and Ann Hummert. This is Fred Collins inviting you to tune in again next Friday at the same time when the National Broadcasting Company will present Inspector Thorne in the Defrosted Refrigerator Murder Clue. Stay tuned for Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons on NBC.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, but it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, We bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And now the National Broadcasting Company presents Inspector Thorne in The Defrosted Refrigerator Murder Clue. Tonight, the National Broadcasting Company presents the exploits of the spectacular young Inspector Thorne of the Homicide Bureau, whose investigations rank with many of the most celebrated ones in the annals of crime fiction. An investigator smart enough to claim he is dumb, and modest enough to believe it. Tonight, Inspector Thorne turns to the Defrosted Refrigerator Murder Clue. The scene is the kitchen of a large home, and standing before an electric refrigerator, we see a charming young woman, obviously quite out of her element in a kitchen, her costly frock protected only by a small apron. She is Marcia Winters, wife of the wealthy banker Arnold Winters. And as she opens the refrigerator door, we hear her say to herself,
"Oh, another kitchen job that I hate. This refrigerator needs defrosting again." How my friends would laugh, seeing me, of all people, the glamorous young wife of old moneybags Arnold Winters, doing kitchen work. But I have my reasons.
Marcia?
Well, Emily, my own darling sister-in-law.
I came here for a showdown with you, Marcia.
A showdown, Emily?
What about? I'm your husband's sister, and you are his wife.
Oh, nothing for us to quarrel about there, Emily. Both are a matter of record. We're practically sisters.
Sisters forget their sisters when they're both infatuated with the same man.
What do you mean by that?
You know what I mean, Marcia. I warn you to let my fiancé, Eric Stevenson, alone. Or...
All right, you asked for it. Eric Stevenson is not your man. He's mine. Mine, I tell you. And we have plans that don't take you into account.
You're married to my brother. I'll tell him the whole thing.
I can wrap him around my finger. He won't believe you.
Listen, Marcia, you'll put Eric Stevenson out of your life or I'll kill you.
Emily, put down that knife.
I'm going to kill you with this kitchen knife.
Emily, stop. I promise anything you ask. Anything.
All I want is for you to stay away from Eric Stevenson.
I promise never to see Eric again. Now give me that knife, Emily.
You swear never to see Eric again?
Yes, yes.
All right. Here's the knife.
Now, I have the knife. And you have a promise I don't intend to keep. Get out, Emily, or I'll call the police and accuse you of trying to murder me. Get out.
I'll get out. But you haven't heard the last of this, Marcia. You'll never get Eric Stevenson.
And now, 1 hour later, in the same house where this violent scene between sisters-in-law took place, we see the husband in the case, frenziedly speaking into the telephone as he says,
"Hello. Hello. Is this the police? My wife's been murdered. I just found her. Do you hear me? She's been murdered."
"Hold on. I'll switch you to the Homicide Bureau."
All right, but hurry."
"Hello. Inspector Thorne of Homicide speaking."
"This is Arnold Winters. My wife, Marcia, has been murdered."
"I'll be out instantly."
"The address is..."
"If you're Arnold Winters, the banker, I know your address already."
Ring the bell, Sergeant Muggan.
Okay, Inspector Thorne.
Come in. Come in. I'm Arnold Winters. I suppose you're Inspector Thorne.
Yes, and this is Sergeant Muggan.
Good afternoon, sir.
You said on the phone you found your wife murdered. When was that?
When I came home from work just 10 minutes ago, Inspector Thorne.
That would be 2:45. Do you always get home this early, Mr. Winters?
What? Oh, no, Inspector Thorne, but today I thought I'd surprise my wife, Marcia.
I see.
I came in the house and called to her, and when she didn't answer, I went out to the kitchen. She was there, lying right in front of the refrigerator, the kitchen knife sticking in her back. It was horrible. Horrible.
Which way is the kitchen?
It's right through here, down this hall.
Wait here in the living room, please, Mr. Winters. Sergeant Muggan and I will go there.
Of course, Inspector Thorne.
Here we are, Muggan. This is the kitchen.
Boy, look at that kitchen knife in it.
Send the knife to the lab for a fingerprint check immediately.
Right. Say, look at this water by the refrigerator, Chief.
That's interesting. The murdered woman must have been in the process of defrosting her refrigerator when she was stabbed. Muggan, does she look like the type of woman to enjoy working in the kitchen?
Not by a long shot.
That expensive dress she's wearing is certainly not meant for kitchen work.
She was sure a lot younger than her husband, Arnold Winters.
That's another interesting point, Muggan. I think I'll have a talk with Arnold Winters right now.
Did you discover anything about my wife Marcia's murder, Inspector Thorne?
Nothing yet, Mr. Winters. Did you and your wife have many quarrels?
We never quarreled, Inspector Thorne. Marcia and I were ideally happy.
Your wife was a great deal younger than you.
Marcia was my second wife. I have a son, Bart, by my first marriage. He's 22 now.
Is this the servant's day off, Mr. Winters?
We have no servants, Inspector Thorne. Marcia said she preferred taking care of her own home.
Funny thing for the young wife of a rich banker to do.
She was that kind, Inspector Thorne. That's one of the things that made our marriage so ideal.
And you came home early to surprise your wife?
Yes.
Wouldn't a better word for surprise be trap? You came home because you were suspicious of your wife, didn't you, Mr. Winters?
I trusted my wife implicitly, Thorne.
Oh, Sergeant Muggan, go see who's at the door.
Okay, Chief.
Are you expecting any callers, Mr. Winters?
I'm expecting my sister Emily. I telephoned her right after I called the police.
This way, ma'am.
Where is he? Where is my brother? Oh, Arnold. Poor Marcia. I can't believe she's dead. Murdered in the kitchen.
Emily, this is Inspector Thorne and Sergeant Muggan. My sister, Emily Winters.
How do you do, Miss Winters? Please sit down.
Oh, Inspector Thorne, how could anyone do such a dreadful thing?
Miss Emily, when did you last see your sister-in-law, Marcia?
Not for days, poor thing.
I see. Sergeant Muggan, did you send the kitchen knife down to the laboratory?
Yeah, Chief. They're working it over for fingerprints right now.
The kitchen knife?
That was the murder weapon, Miss Emily.
But there could be a great many fingerprints on that knife. I mean, probably all of us picked it up at some time or other.
You don't have to worry, Miss Emily. Not if you haven't been here for days.
Yes, of course, but... Well, you can't tell, Inspector Thorne.
I'm a little slow on the uptake, Miss Emily, but I think you're lying to me. At what time today were you in this house?
I wasn't here. I might as well tell you.
In a murder case, that is the only policy to follow.
Well, Inspector Thorne, I came here at 2:00 this afternoon. Marcia and I had a little chat, and then I left.
And during the course of that little chat, you picked up the kitchen knife and threatened to kill her.
Arnold, you said you wouldn't tell the police anything.
What? Emily,
Looks like you've been holding out something, too, Mr. Winters. Just what did happen, Emily? I'd like your version of it.
Marcia laughed at me. She said she wouldn't give up my fiancé, Eric. She said she and Eric had plans that didn't include me. When I picked up that kitchen knife, I only wanted to frighten her. I never would have used it to kill her.
Marcia said she wouldn't give up your fiancé, Eric.
That's what she said. Imagine her. My brother's wife saying that. It was just the way I told Arnold.
Emily, you must...
Why shouldn't I tell the police what you knew about Marcia and Eric? You told them about me.
Your brother didn't, Miss Emily. You did. Looks like you're saving me a lot of trouble here. Don't like to use my brain any more than I have to.
What?
You and your brother's young wife were fighting it out over some man named Eric. And she was murdered. Now, just who is this Eric?
Eric Stevenson. He's an investment broker.
About the same age as your brother, I guess.
Why, no. Eric is 25 years younger. But why bring Eric into it? Marcia promised me to put Eric out of her life entirely.
Sergeant Muggan, check up on this man, Eric Stevenson. Maybe he didn't want to be put out of the murdered woman's life.
Right, Chief.
Now, Mr. Winters, what do you know of this man, Eric Stevenson?
I've never met him or heard of him until today.
Husbands are usually the last to know.
I don't really think there was anything between Eric and Marcia. I'm just a jealous woman, I guess, Inspector Thorne, always imagining things.
Imagining that Marcia told you she and Eric had planned. Imagining the kitchen knife with which you threatened her. Those won't be imaginary fingerprints that we find on the murder knife, Emily.
Marcia was alive when I left this house, Inspector Thorne.
If I were you, Inspector Thorne, I'd look into Eric Stevenson more closely.
Mr. Winters, how long have you known about this relationship between your wife and Eric Stevenson?
Only since this afternoon, since my sister Emily told me about them.
I went to see Arnold as soon as I left, Marcia. I told him the whole story.
That's right. And I was with Emily from that time until I came home. So you see, Inspector Thorne, I couldn't have killed Marcia.
How do you know at what time your wife was murdered, Mr. Winters?
I don't. I just meant if Emily and I were together all the time after she left Marcia in the kitchen alive.
Where does Eric Stevenson live, Emily?
He lives at the French Hotel, Inspector.
I think he came here this afternoon and murdered my wife.
Come on, Sergeant Muggan. We're going to the French Hotel to see Eric Stevenson.
This is Eric Stevenson's room, Inspector Thorne. I'll knock on the door.
Good afternoon. I'm Inspector Thorne. This is Sergeant Muggan. You're Eric Stevenson?
Yes, but
I'm inside with me, Muggan.
I'm sorry, Inspector Thorne. I haven't time to talk to you right now. I'm expecting a lady.
What lady, Mr. Stevenson?
I'm sure that could be of no interest to you, Inspector.
It may be of great interest, Mr. Stevenson. I'm investigating a murder.
A murder? Who?
Who is the lady you're expecting?
Just a friend of mine. Name of Marcia Winters. She's a bit late.
At what time was she expected?
3:00. It's almost 4:00 now, but Marcia's often late. Inspector Thorne, has anything happened to Marcia?
Marcia Winters was stabbed to death at exactly 2:30 this afternoon.
Oh, no. No, it isn't possible.
How well did you know Marcia Winters?
Just casually, Inspector Thorne.
Do your casual women friends always drop into your hotel rooms alone?
You don't understand.
Oh, yes, I do understand, Eric Stevenson. I understand that you and Marcia had plans. Secret plans. The kind casual friends don't have.
Who told you that?
Marcia's sister-in-law. Your fiancée, Emily Winters.
I see. All right, Inspector Thorne. Marcia and I were in love. We were planning to run away together just as soon as we had enough money.
What do you mean by enough money?
I don't know. That was all Marcia's idea. She said she was going to make her husband, Arnold, pay for being so mean to her.
Arnold says he and his wife are ideally happy.
That's a lie.
He says Marcia insisted upon doing her own housework because she liked taking care of their home.
The old skinflint probably made her do it.
Marcia was in the kitchen defrosting the refrigerator at the time she was murdered.
Arnold must have killed her when he found out about us.
And you might have killed her, Eric.
I loved her, Inspector Thorne.
Love has been known to turn into hate. Murderous hate.
But what reason would I have to kill Marcia? Anyway, I couldn't have. Not if she was killed at 2:30. It takes almost an hour to get to my hotel from her house. And I was here in my hotel room at 3:00, waiting for Marcia to keep our appointment. She telephoned me this morning. You can check with the hotel switchboard. She called and said she'd be here at 3:00.
Sergeant Muggan, go to the door. I think we have an eavesdropper.
Oh,
now let me go!
No, you don't. Get inside, you.
Bob, what are you doing here?
Who is this young man?
That's Marcia's stepson, Bob Winters.
Do you make a practice of listening at keyholes, Bob Winters?
Where this skunk is concerned, I do a lot more.
Bob always hated his stepmother, Inspector Thorne.
And why shouldn't I? The way she took Dad for a ride. I heard her make that phone call to you, Stevenson. I made up my mind I'd catch you two together.
What purpose would that serve, Bob?
Dad would have to believe me then and get rid of her for good. That was my plan, Inspector Thorne.
So your plan, Bob, was to get rid of your stepmother for good. Was it a plan that you've already carried out? A plan of murder?
Inst-
Inspector Thorne in the Defrosted Refrigerator Murder Clue will return in just a moment. But first, we'd like to take just 60 seconds of your time to tell you a little about some of the programs we've prepared for your summer radio entertainment. This evening, be sure to hear Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons. Tonight, Mr. Keene brings you the mysterious story of the Abandoned Well murder case. Then on Sunday, we have Tom Conway as the debonair gentleman detective known as the Sink. Then there's screen actor Lloyd Nolan in another fast-moving, hard-hitting story as Martin Kane, Private Eye. Later, actor Carlton Young comes to the NBC microphone in the double role of Philip Galt and the Whisperer. Top Sunday evening off with security agent Mr. Moto, Japanese-American security agent fighting against the evil forces which would plunge the world into another global conflict. Then on Thursday, travel to the world of the future with stories bringing you the very best in science fiction on Dimension X. There you have it, a full schedule of programming designed to bring you the very best in radio entertainment, morning, noon, and night, over this, your NBC station. Now, back to Inspector Thorne and the Defrosted Refrigerator Murder Clue. Investigating the murder of Marcia Winters, Inspector Thorne discovers that she was planning to leave her wealthy husband, Arnold, and run away with Eric Stevenson, her sister-in-law's fiancé. While Inspector Thorne and Sergeant Muggan are questioning Eric Stevenson at his hotel, they discover the murdered woman's stepson, Bob Winters, listening at the door. And now we hear Inspector Thorne saying,
"That was your plan, wasn't it, Bob? To murder your stepmother, Marcia, and then come here and put on this act to convince the police of your innocence."
"Marcia dead? I didn't know."
"That's what you'd like us to believe. Why did you kill her?"
"Look, Inspector Thorne, I won't pretend that I'm sorry my stepmother is dead. I'm not. I hated her. Hated what she was doing to Dad. But I know nothing about her being murdered. I didn't even know she was murdered until you just told me."
"Where have you been all day?"
"What, just wandering around?"
"Just wandering around? It may interest you, Bob, to know that you have the weakest alibi of any suspect. Eric Stevenson says he was right in this hotel room at the time of the murder. As for your Aunt Emily and your father, they say they were together."
"Aunt Emily and father?"
"Eric Stevenson here says your father didn't treat your stepmother well."
"Eric's a liar. I'll tell you something, Inspector. My stepmother was doing her own housework."
"Why, Bob? Your father's a very rich man."
"Because she was paying me off. Paying me every cent she could get together. So I wouldn't tell Dad about her having an affair with Eric."
"So you go in for blackmail and murder."
"Why should I kill Marcia? I was getting plenty from her. Every cent she could get from Dad, including the money he gave her to hire servants to do the housework. Work she did herself."
"Sergeant Muggan."
"Yes, Chief."
"Telephone headquarters and see if the boys have uncovered that information I asked for."
"Right away, Chief."
"And then, Muggan, you and I are returning to the murder house to have a further talk with the murdered woman's husband, Arnold Winters, and his sister, Emily. And we're taking Eric Stevenson with us."
"Come in, Inspector Thorne, Sergeant Muggin. Hello, Stevenson."
"I see your sister Emily is still here, Mr. Winters. Shall we all go into the living room?"
"What is it, Inspector Thorne? Why have you brought Eric with you?"
"Please sit down, Emily. All of you. I have questions to ask. Oh, nothing to be alarmed about."
"Of course, Inspector Thorne. Go right ahead."
"You, Mr. Winters, did you have many arguments..."
"My wife, Marcia, and I never argued."
"Arguments with your son, Bob? About money?"
"Arguments with Bob? Of course not. Bob knew he could come to me for anything he needed."
"I'm not so sure of that, Inspector Thorne. Only the other week, Bob borrowed some money from me, his aunt."
"Emily."
"How about Eric Stevenson, Miss Emily? How much money has he borrowed from you?"
"Not a penny."
"That's absolutely right, Inspector Thorne. Eric never asked me for money."
"But you did go out together."
"Well, naturally, Inspector Thorne. The theater, the best nightclubs. Eric and I always had a wonderful time."
"Considering that Eric is practically penniless,
That's very interesting.
Eric's an investment broker.
My men have checked that, Emily. Eric Stevenson is not a broker. In fact, he has no visible means of support and no bank account.
What if I haven't? Is that a crime, Thorne?
Men who are penniless don't usually take their fiancées to expensive nightclubs, Eric.
All right. I paid the check. Because I wanted to. Eric and I loved each other. That was all that mattered.
Is that right, Eric?
Entirely, Inspector Thorne.
How many women did you love, Eric? Your fiancée, Emily? Your fiancée's sister-in-law, Marcia? Was that the trouble? You loved too many women, and so you had to eliminate one from your life?
I did love Emily, Inspector Thorne. Until I met Marcia. Then no one else counted.
Eric!
I'm sorry, Emily. There was something about Marcia that wove a spell about me. I couldn't think of anything else.
And you even forgot about Emily Winter's money. Or did you decide that you could get more from Marcia through her husband, Arnold?
Inspector Thorne, I think Arnold Winters knew about his wife Marcia and me being in love from the very beginning.
Inspector Thorne, you must believe me. I had no idea, no inkling that there was anything between my wife Marcia and this man, Eric, until this afternoon.
For a big banker, you seem to miss a lot that's going on around you, Arnold Winters.
If you mean my wife's affair with this man, I didn't know anything about it.
And you saw nothing strange in the fact that your wife did not use the money you gave her to hire servants, but did all the housework herself. And you did not know that your own son, Bob, was blackmailing your wife, his stepmother.
What?
You are a very innocent man, Mr. Winters. Suspiciously innocent.
I'll take it, Inspector Thorne. Hello, Sergeant Muggin talking. What? When? Okay, I'll tell the chief. Inspector Thorne, can I see you outside a minute?
Everybody wait in here, please. Come along, Sergeant Muggin.
That was headquarters, chief. You had one of the boys tailing the steps on Bob Winters.
And he caught young Bob trying to leave town?
Yeah, he's bringing him down to your office. Say, how did you get the idea he tried to make a getaway, Chief?
Just one of my hunches, Muggett.
Now, in Inspector Thorne's office at the Homicide Bureau, we see him with Bob Winters, the stepson of the murdered Marcia Winters, and we hear Inspector Thorne say,
"Men who have nothing to conceal, don't try to run away, Bob."
I didn't kill my stepmother.
What did you do with the blackmail money your murdered stepmother Marcia gave you?
I'm not answering any questions, Inspector Thorne.
Because you can't. There was no blackmail money.
Well, I lost it gambling.
No, you didn't. Or we'd have found that out. You made up that story of getting blackmail money from your murdered stepmother in order to protect your father, to draw suspicion away from his having killed her.
Dad didn't kill Marcia.
You knew your father's alibi was phony. He wasn't with your Aunt Emily at the time his wife was murdered.
You can't trick me like that, Inspector Thorne.
It isn't a trick, Bob. You saw your father drive away from your Aunt Emily's house long before the murder time.
Yes. Yes, everything you said is right. Except about Dad being guilty. He didn't kill Marcia.
Do you say that, Bob, because you know who did kill her?
No.
Well, I think I know. Sergeant Muggin.
Yes, Chief?
Let Bob Winters wait in the other room.
Right out here, Bob. Okay, Inspector Thorne.
Bring me that money that the searching squad found and all the information from the banks. And then, Muggin, pull in the other suspects immediately. I'm ready to uncover the killer.
Got them outside, Inspector Thorne. Arnold Winters, the murdered woman's husband, his sister Emily, and her fiancé, Eric Stevenson. Who do you want in here first?
Bring them all in, Sergeant Muggin.
All of you, come in.
I hope you have good reason for dragging us all down here this way, Inspector Thorne.
Yes, Mr. Winters, I have. Have you ever seen this bank book before?
Where did you get that?
In your house, Mr. Winters. Among your murdered wife's belongings. It's a joint checking account you had with your wife, Marcia. An account which you closed over a month ago, after you discovered that she had withdrawn $25,000 from it.
What if I did? She had no right giving my money to Eric Stevenson.
He's lying.
Never mind that, Eric. I suppose, Arnold Winters, you realize what you have just admitted. You've admitted that you knew about your wife and Eric Stevenson over a month ago, at least.
Marcia was a cheat. I've known about her and Eric all along.
Marcia was worse than that, Inspector Thorne. Worse than that.
My men discovered something that might interest you, Emily.
There was no money among your sister-in-law Marsha's belongings. But we found money somewhere else.
That was my money.
Do you always keep $50,000 in cash in your house?
My brother Arnold gave it to me this afternoon.
My dear sister was blackmailing me, Inspector Thorne. Emily said she'd tell you I'd known about Marsha and Eric all along.
So you gave your sister Emily $50,000 to keep her quiet, but you wouldn't give your wife Marsha enough to hire servants to look after that big mansion of yours.
I gave her money. She gave it to Eric Stevenson. That's why she did her own housework.
Letting your sister blackmail you for $50,000 makes you look like our man, Winters.
Dad didn't kill her, Inspector Thorne.
Bob, you always jump quick to your father's defense, don't you?
But, Inspector, you said...
I was saying that your stepmother, Marsha, by being forced to work in the kitchen, has pointed out the murderer to me. Emily.
Yes, Inspector Thorne?
Would you choose to defrost the refrigerator, Emily, at a time when you were planning to leave the house?
Of course I wouldn't, Inspector Thorne. Everything in it would be spoiled.
Exactly. Yet one of you here said, as your alibi, that you were expecting the murdered Marsha Winters to visit you at 3 o'clock, a short time after Emily saw Marsha start to defrost the refrigerator in the kitchen.
Marsha telephoned and made the appointment with me, Inspector Thorne. You can check the hotel switchboard. And Bob told you he heard her make the call.
Yes. And that seems to let you out, Eric.
Out? I was never in.
I guess I was just plain dumb suspecting you in the first place.
Well, everybody makes mistakes, Inspector Thorne. I don't hold anything against you.
Instead of thinking about you, I guess I should have turned my ideas to that defrosted refrigerator.
Defrosted refrigerator?
It strikes me as funny that a woman doing her own work like Marsha was would start to defrost her refrigerator if she were going out.
Mm-hmm. That is odd. But I don't know much about defrosting refrigerators.
No housewife would make such a mistake, especially in summer. A smart murderer would have turned the current back on and shut the refrigerator door.
Yes.
I'd say a man did the murder. If it weren't for another puzzling thing.
What, Inspector Thorne?
This lady's handkerchief I found, stuffed back in the freezing compartment of the refrigerator.
Emily! Emily, you must have been crazy. That's your handkerchief. So you killed Marsha.
I admit that handkerchief is mine, Inspector Thorne. I admit it's mine, but I swear I didn't murder Marsha. I don't know how it got there. I must have dropped it on the floor when I was quarreling with Marsha.
Emily, do you think Inspector Thorne will believe that?
In my slow-thinking way, I do believe her.
Then you are stupid.
This handkerchief was used to wipe the fingerprints from the murder knife. And you, Eric Stevenson, used it for that purpose after stabbing Marsha.
What gives you that idea, you stupid fool?
A woman wouldn't be any more likely to put her handkerchief in the freezing compartment of a refrigerator than she would to start defrosting it just before going out.
Do you think you can send me to the chair on a stupid idea like that, Thorne?
Your fingerprints are on the handkerchief, Stevenson.
No.
Oh, yes. They show on a fabric as well as on anything else.
I never thought of that.
And you didn't think we'd find out that you got a second telephone call at your hotel today.
What?
A call from Marsha, breaking her 3 o'clock date with you. Lucky for me that the hotel operator, not being busy on a warm summer afternoon, listened in.
All right. Marsha did break her date with me. Said she promised Emily not to see me again. I was mad about her. I went out to her house and murdered her. But don't pin any flowers on yourself, Thorne. For getting me, it was all luck.
A dumb cop like me needs all the luck that comes his way. These handcuffs are for you, Eric Stevenson.
And so ends the Defrosted Refrigerator murder clue. The part of Inspector Thorne is played by Carl Weber, direction by Kenneth McGregor. The script was written by Geraldine Merkin and Edward Francis, based on the original radio play by Frank and Ann Hummert. This is Fred Collins inviting you to tune in again next Friday at the same time when the National Broadcasting Company will present Inspector Thorne in The High Style Murder Case. Stay tuned for Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, on NBC.
And thank you again for listening, and please don't forget to follow, review, and rate.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.